Open to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's where we're at. Two or three things you have to remember as we get into this chapter. We've talked about chapter 12, 13, and 14 is all Paul's dealing with the Corinthian church on gifts, spiritual gifts. Some of them was desiring the more visible gifts, such as tongues and prophesying. And so he deals with those matters. Now, it's important to remember and keep a couple things in your mind. Number one, this when Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church, there was no such thing as a New Testament and the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians came from the letter that Paul wrote to them. The Corinthian church at this time was in a transitional phase. When the Word of God was perfect, then we have the Word of God now we go back to. Until that time, God was issuing and giving spiritual gifts to those in involved in the church and doing things in the church to edify the church. Now, you also have to remember that that the Corinthian church was the most infidel, or infants is what I'm trying to say. Infantile, that's the word I was looking for, thank you. They were the most infantile church of the whole bunch of churches. They were having all kinds of problems. That's why none of the rest of the churches you ever find those spiritual gifts like tongues and so forth mentioned other than in the book of Acts. But it's because of the abuse. And so you got to keep those things in mind. And remember when the perfect word of God came, we no longer need certain things. And so follow along with me and I know there's a lot of controversy and a lot of different ideas, but let's just let the Word of God speak for itself as we go into this. Verse number one, and we're going to read it, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up. I don't know how far we'll get today, but I'm sure we'll spend several lessons upon this chapter. It says, follow after charity. Now that picks up what we've just been studying about in chapter 13. They were desiring all these other things, and Paul was getting across to them that the most important gift that a church can have is that of charity. If you don't have charity, you got nothing. And anything you do, if it's not for love. And so they were not doing it for the love of the brethren, love of the church. They were wanting these gifts for their own self-gratification, to exalt their old self. And it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Now, as well, notice here a couple things, because sometimes people gets involved in the Bible. When you read the translation of the Bible, what happened was there was certain words that they would stick in to help explain the context as the Greek scholars and Hebrew scholars was translating it. And it was to help translate the Bible into the English language. It happened back in 1611. And what they would do is they would put, and when they would add a word, it would be a word that was not in the translation, but it would be to define it and bring it about to help out understand in our language and make it better interpretable in our language. Now notice here, he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown. They would always make it italicized there in the words, and they put the unknown in there. But him that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit, in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he reinterpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For he shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without a signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, that my voice I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of the lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and they come in those that are unlearned and unbelievers, will they not say, ye are mad? If all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one that unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three, that by course let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak, two or three, and let them and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all men may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, we're going to spend some time and deal with different subjects. Today, it's going to be more of an introduction. Now, there's all kinds of ideas and things thrown around. Now, Paul, he begins this chapter, and he reminds us that we are to follow love. We are to follow charity. And therefore, when we follow charity, we are to desire spiritual gifts. Now, you got to remember. Now, you got, if you forget this, it will always throw you in interpretation of Scripture. When this was written, there was no New Testament. They did not have all the books of the New Testament to go to and to study to see what God would have them to be and do. They didn't have the instructions for the churches. And so what God would do is this: during church service, there would be some that were there, and God would give different, as he said, different gifts to different people. Then sometimes he would relay something, a revelation, to someone in the church. And they would speak up and they would say, God gave me this. And it would be a revelation of something that other people didn't know. Well, now, through the word of God, we have the complete revelation of God. He finished it by giving us the last book of the New Testament, the revelations of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we have everything. Any issue that comes within the church, we have the word of God to go to. We no longer let someone stand up and say, brethren, God gave me this. This is how we deal with this problem. That's not the way we deal with things anymore. The revelations are not given. Now what we do is God, and see, prophesying at that time, God would give some spiritual gifts of prophesying. Now prophesying was two different things. One was being able to foretell future events that would take place. Paul or John on the island of Patmos was given prophecy. He was able to see the future. We still are yet to see some of the things fulfilled that John saw. But he was given the revelation of Jesus Christ, and he was able to prophesy and see things out in the future. But prophesying also means speaking the truth and speaking the word of God. In other words, proclaiming the word of God. And so notice in verse 1 that Paul tackles something. He says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. In other words, he said, I want you to take something that will be beneficial to the church. Now, we've had missionaries come through, and many of times, most of the time, some of them come through. For instance, Brother Matthew Henry, last time he was here, it's been a while, he's in India. Now, they've got just hundreds of dialects in India. I think he speaks 18 or 20 of them. Now, he could stand up here and he could speak those dialects. You could not understand a word he was saying. You would not know where to say amen. You would not know where he was telling the truth. You would not know what he's saying. It meant nothing to you. It would be as a sound. Nothing certain. And so therefore, if he's come to preach, now sometimes they would come and they'll sing a song or a verse or something and say, this is how it sounds in my language. Well, that's fine. But most of us, if we know the song, we can kind of put together what he's trying to say. But if we don't know the song, then we can't. But if he was to get up here and preach in his language and tongue, and nobody here understood it, then he would be wrong in doing that. It would not benefit the church at all. And as a matter of fact, if someone got here, if Brother Henry came here and preached, and all he did was sit here and preach in some Indian dialect, I would stop and say, Brother Henry, you need to preach in English. Because if he didn't preach in English, this church would not be edified. We would not gain nothing from it. We would not know nothing he was saying. And we'd just be sitting there looking really dumb because we couldn't figure things out. And so Paul said, he said, now listen, again, talking to a church that was very babyfied, they wanted to be seen, they wanted to be here, they wanted to pretend like they had such high spiritual levels. And so they were grabbing these gifts at other people that had genuine gifts, and they was trying to mimic these gifts because they thought it would bring attention to them. And so Paul said, if you really love, you'll do something that benefits everybody else, not you. And so therefore, he said, what you need to do is, you need to make sure that you follow charity, and it's okay to desire spiritual gifts. But you know, there's more gifts than tongues and prophesying. There's also gifts of mercy and giving and all those things. Everybody's got gifts. Different ones got gifts. Now notice here, prophesying, he goes on in verse 2, and he explains, he says this, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. And so therefore, now you've got to remember this too. The gift of tongues, when you go back into Acts chapter 2, when we were introduced to it, the gift of tongues was, Peter was able to get up on the day of Pentecost, and he was able to preach, and there was 14 dialects. He did not know those dialects, those languages. He preached, and the Bible says, every man heard in his own language. Now, Paul said, as we saw over there, he said that I've spoke tongues more than anybody else. You got to remember, Paul went around the whole world preaching the gospel. And look here. Paul had the gift where he was able to preach, and he was able to go anywhere at any place, and he was able to preach, and people was able to hear him. He evangelized the whole world. He didn't know all those languages. He'd go in places and he'd preach and people would hear. They would be saved. There was times when he was probably speaking their language that he didn't even know what he was saying. That was a gift of the Holy Ghost of God. And so therefore, Paul says, if you are following through, then what you need to understand is that when you're speaking, the gift is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit where you're able to speak another language and people can't hear you. And so therefore, he said, if you don't, and people don't understand, there's not an interpreter, then you just speak to God because God's the only one that can understand it. Nobody else in the congregation can. So what would it profit? If I was to speak some language today that nobody knew, what would it profit anybody in here? Now, look on. He says in verse 3, but he that prophesies speaketh to men to edification, to exhortation, and to comfort. In other words, he said that when you speak and prophesy the word of God, you preach the word of God, you teach the word of God, everybody gains. They gain knowledge. They gain understanding. And can I say this too, and it gets on over in here in a minute, but I'll just throw this in here. There are people that preaches that they work very hard to make their language, to use words and ideas in such a way that you, above everybody else, they try to speak above everybody. And they think that they're showing off. Well, I shouldn't say that, but most of the time, that's what it is. And they try to say all these big old words and put all these phrases, and they exalt themselves in their own eyes. Have you ever sat and you listened to somebody preach and you didn't know what they was talking about? Have you ever done that? What good did it do you? You know Jesus, the greatest preacher of all, you know what he did? He brought it down where everybody could understand simple. What God wants us to do in the Word of God is just speak simple. You know, when you're young, just starting out preaching and so forth, you think, boy, I want to get to the deep things. I want to get deep people's things people never heard. But the secret to good preaching is just preach something and make people see something simply that everybody understands. Even children understands it. And so here he says, he that prophesied in verse 3, he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, to comfort. In other words, it would be a comfort. It would be a help. And again, if somebody jumped up here and began talking in a language nobody else understood, it benefited nobody, nothing. Now look on in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So if you get up here and you're speaking and no one else understands it, what is it benefiting everybody else? And who and what are you trying to prove? And of course, here you got to remember again, this was a time when we didn't have the complete word of God. It was not completed. Now we have that. Now we go and we look into the Bible and we follow the Bible for revelation. We don't listen to, you know, when you find somebody jumping up and saying that they got new revelation that goes contrary to what the Bible teaches, leave that person alone. Stay away from them. Because God's not giving new revelation. He's given us complete revelation of the will, his will that we know. Now, he may make you see things. He may make you understand things. But this idea of having all these new revelations and so forth. And how many times have you heard somebody stand up and proclaim a new revelation and then it not come true? That's why over in the last chapter, he said prophesying sometimes faileth, because you're depending upon the man that's doing the prophesying or the person doing the prophesying. And just because they say it, don't make it so. But when God says it, it's forever settled in heaven. Heaven and earth can't change what God puts down and his word says. And so we can take that. So therefore, when we judge something, we judge the Bible. We don't judge what everybody jumps up and says. Somebody said, well, I know he's going to heaven because he says he's saved. Well, that don't mean he's going to heaven. Anybody can say you're saved. Somebody said, well, he claims to have a new revelation of God. Well, anybody can claim to have that. You know, a while back in 1988, I remember when a guy wrote a book and said the rapture is going to happen that September. Had everybody up in arms. Didn't have me up in arms. The Bible said not even the angels know. I knew he was a false prophet when he said it's going to happen on September, whatever day it was. I knew and then what he did was when it didn't happen that day, then he shot at another day and said, what's going to happen in this day? Well, both days have come to pass. It still hasn't happened. You know why his prophecy failed? You know why? It was a man. Now we have the word of God. Somebody says, when Jesus coming back? He's coming back just as the Bible says he is. Thief in the night. He's given signs that we can see, but we do not know the day nor the hour in which he'll come back. We know that from the Bible. So when you have somebody stand up and say, I know the day and hour now, leave that person alone. They don't know. They're going against Scripture. And therefore, God's not going to give them the date and the hour. Now, look on. In verse number 5, he says, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesy than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. In other words, he said, it's fine that you have that gift of speaking in tongues if you have it. He said, I'd like for all of you to have it. But, he said, I'd much rather have prophesying. Because, therefore, it edifies the church. You're not edifying the church. And, by the way, when you come together, and on over in the chapter, we saw where he said that tongues were not for the believers. So let me ask you this. If everybody's here a believer, and you get up and you say that you're speaking in tongues, What are you doing? Even you say, well, I had an interpreter. Well, the Bible says that the tongues were not for believers. So what are you doing? Exactly where are you benefiting and how you're benefiting? What Paul gets across, he says, for unbelievers, because what they would do on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was given a gift, 3,000 people were saved. Why were they saved? Because they saw the miracle of the gift of tongues. And they knew that he was of God. They were hearing him preach in their language, and he was speaking in another language, and they heard him in their language and understood what he was saying. That drew unbelievers to God during that sign. Now somebody says, well, we want to do the same thing. I want to win the unbelievers by signs, that they would see signs that I'm of God. Remember what Jesus told Thomas? He said, He said, Thomas, touch me. He said, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those that will come that will not see but yet believe. In other words, he said that there will come a time when people is not persuaded by sight of miracles. They're persuaded through the faith in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? And it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Faith is what we are saved by what? Through faith. Faith is what it's all about. We walk by faith now. We preach the word of faith. Everything that we do is built on faith. Faith in what? What the word of God says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In other words, how many of you have ever seen heaven? You've seen it only through the eyes of faith. You believe it because the Bible says there's a heaven, right? But nobody here has been there. You've not been there. You've not seen it. Somebody said, oh, well, preacher, I got this and I got... You believe it? We believe today because of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Nowhere does it instruct us in this day and time that faith cometh by seeing someone else perform a miracle. It doesn't instruct. That was for a time. That's why when you see the seven churches of Asia in Revelation representing the seven church ages, that's why only the first one ever speaks of apostles. You have all these jumping up today claiming to be apostles. They're not any apostles today. They were for a season. And God gave them to the church first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors, and missionaries, or teachers. And then therefore what we have is he has given to the church what we've needed. The apostles was very instrumental in the beginning of the church because he not only used them in establishing certain things in the church and establishing churches, but he also used them in writing the word of God to complete the perfect word of God. We have 14 epistles to the New Testament church written by apostles, and it was given to us that we could understand. Look, if you would, in verse 6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? In other words, he says, now listen, I can come to you and I can speak and say these things. But he said, what you need to understand is that the need is that the harvest will be won and that people will be saved. And you know, whenever you have someone saying, well, because we have these gifts, we're on a higher spiritual level. Well, Jesus said, you know, the whole purpose was to look upon the fields and see the harvest and so forth and see this white. And we are to preach the word of God and take the gospel and preach the gospel. But, you know, sometimes the very ones that claims to have these things, you never see hardly any fruit at all produced. And you've got to ask some questions. Now look on, if you would, just a moment. Notice that he says, but I shall speak to you either by revelation, things that had been revealed to him, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, by doctrine. And he says in verse 7, and even things without life, giving sound, whether it be pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harp? Let me use you an example. Now, Stuart could come up here and get this guitar, and he could play something, you would probably know what he's playing. I could get that guitar, and you say, when are you going to stop? I could bang it. I could hit it. Now, I know a few chords, and there was time I could pick a little song out or two, but I forgot all that. But I just kind of hit it and bang it, and it would mean nothing to you. Now, he could sit here, and he could pick out a tune, and he could play it, and you say, you can sing along with it because you knew what the song was. But Paul says speaking in tongues is like playing an instrument, not having ability to do that. you hear it and you can't make nothing out of it. It doesn't profit you. You're not gaining nothing when no one understands what's being said or done. It's just adding confusion in the congregation. And again, you go back to what he says, and he says it plainly, it's not for believers in the church. It was used to reach unbelievers in preaching and reaching out and bringing the harvest to salvation. That was why the gift was given. And yet they wanted to exercise it within their church. And they wanted to do it for their self-gratification. And we see that a lot even today. And verse number 8, he says, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? In other words, somebody play a trumpet, just make a noise, nobody know what to do. But someone who was skilled with a trumpet could blow it, and everybody knew to get ready because they was fixing to run to battle. And so therefore, he relates to tongues, to something uncertain that nobody understands, to prophesying something that somebody understands. When you hear me preach, you may not like what I preach, and I may not be a very good preacher, but most of the time you understand what I've said. Now, sometimes, like the other night, I had a word or two that I just got all tangled up in, and you might have a hard time figuring that out. But most of the time, you understand what I'm trying to say. And now, sometimes we try to make the Bible say things that it doesn't say. So when we get into this, we've got to look, and we've got to see just exactly what it says. So far, I think Paul's been pretty simple. I don't have any problem understanding what he said. Now, if we try to make some things that they're not, that is not represented here, and we try to make tongues to be something that we don't understand, then we have issues. Verse 9. So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how should it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak in the air. And can I go back to this as well? The same way as preaching with a dialect no one understands. Let me give you an example. When I went to Panama, I preached to a group of Indians. Most people there that was not the Indians knew Spanish. Now, some of the Indians knew it, but some of them didn't. The Wami Indians, they had their own dialect. And so what would happen would be this. I would preach. Francisco would interpret Spanish. He would take what I said and he would tell them in Spanish what I said. Then this Indian over here, I can't remember what his name was. I had different ones. He would stand up and he would tell his people what I said. He could understand English. He could understand Spanish. Now, sometimes I would preach and I would have to say it, and Francisco would say it, and he only understood, and the Indian would only understand Spanish, and he would take the Spanish and then interpret it into their dialect. And sometimes I'd preach and I'd have two translations. Now, if I just preached in English, they would all sit there and done this. They would got nothing out of it whatsoever. They would just looked. Now, was God able to take that and use it? We had 139 people saved that week. That was a blessing. And people who had never heard the gospel heard it for the first time many times that week and responded because they understood. And then when they come up and they gave a testimony, it was amazing what God had revealed to them out of the simple preaching of the gospel. For the first time, hearing something that was foreign, that they'd never heard, to hearing the gospel for the first time and able to believe in Jesus. It was amazing. Now, I'm going to close right there because I want to get in something else. But let me read one more verse and I'm going to get in, or two more verses. I'll pick them up next time. It says, verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. And so we'll pick this up next time, But again, it goes back to the same thing that we've been teaching and what Paul's trying to get across to them, that to do this, you may be impressed. For instance, they was talking about President Trump. I understand his wife, she knows seven languages. She could come in here and she could speak some of those seven languages. And most of them I'd sit there and scratch my head. Some of them I might know a word here or there, but I wouldn't know the languages. And to be honest with you, it'd be somebody in a foreign field. This may be a better example. How many of you have been in a grocery store or something? And since we have so many people coming in, and you hear somebody speaking another language, does it ever bug you? Especially when there's three of you and two of them sitting there talking another language, you're sitting there by yourself. And especially it bugs you if they're saying something, smiling, looking at you, you know what I mean? And you don't know what they're saying. But the key is this, that that's the same thing Paul relates to them. And so we'll pick that up next week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for many blessings. Thank you for the word of God that gives us direction in life. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.